I don't remember exactly what prompted my wife and I to have this conversation, but a while back we found ourselves talking with our kids about how different families have different rules. I assume it came about because a friend was going to do something that we have said, I'm not sure you can do that. And they said, but they're parents. And we said, different parents, different families, different rules. And then as the conversation kept going, it morphed into talking about the makeup of families. And we said, yeah, some families have two moms and some families have two dads. And sometimes it's grandma or grandpa or an auntie. Sometimes it's just one parent. And different families, they're made up differently. And as we continue talking, then the conversation went, and we find ourselves talking about my wife's divorce before we met. And you might have met my middle child, Gabriel. He's about my height now. Tall, lanky, handsome. He's over there. He's probably smiling. He must have been about 8 or 9 at the time. And he reached out to my wife with the innocence of asking for a glass of water or asking her to help him find a missing shoe. He turned to her with that Mickey Mouse voice before puberty hit. And he asked, Mommy, why did you divorce? And then I heard his mom stuttering and struggling to respond to the gravity of that question. And she said things about love, and she said things about hard work and pain and trying and wishing that was not the case and it was not her plan, and about brokenness. And then if the first question was not complicated enough, he followed up with one that packed a punch. He said, will you and Papi divorce someday? Who knew that out of such small boy would come out such a heart-crushing question? And of course, we said the things that we have to say at the moment. We said, we're not going to divorce. And that was enough for him. And with the same sense of freshness and innocence that he came and asked the question, he just went out and went to play with his Legos. But he left Ricky and I standing alone in the kitchen, looking at one another, knowing that perhaps that answer was not enough. We both knew that what we were really telling him was, God, we hope not. We hope and we long and we pray that it might not come to it. And we will work hard for it not to happen. And Lord, have mercy, because we honestly do not know how to answer this question. We do not know the future, but we'll try. My son's question had a sting. His question word or bored in awareness about heartbreak, about the fragility and complexity of human relationships. And today's gospel kind of harbors the same feeling, something about heartbreak and the complexity of human relationships. For the past 2 weeks, we've been with Jesus on the mountain. We are there with the multitude, sitting under the sparse shade, listening to sermon Jesus on the mountain. A few weeks ago, Lindsay reminded us of the Beatitudes. Last week, Steve talked to us about salt. So here we are on the mountain. Although the mountain is not so much a mountain, it's more of a hill. That mountain is as much of a mountain as Capitol Hill is a mountain. But there is a strong metaphorical and symbolic meaning to this, to gather a people high, to be able to expand the view of things, to enlarge and to reorient. So not long ago, before this reading in chapter 5 in Matthew, we've heard of Jesus being taken by the Spirit to the desert after his baptism. And then he conquers the temptations placed to him by the accuser, by the devil. And he comes down back to Galilee and begins to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near. And this idea, this wild idea that the kingdom of heaven is near, sounded so hopeful to the Galilean people who were living under Roman military occupation that they began to follow Jesus by the multitudes. They were seduced by this idea of something new, of something good, and they followed Jesus. Follow him up to the mountains. So let us go up to the mountain. And in that mountain, there's the sermon. There's the beginning of that sermon is those Beatitudes, which are a reorientation of life, contrary to the values of the social values of the time. It's a reorientation toward honor and blessedness. And then Jesus continues teaching about salt and light. See, he came and he began to talk about the kingdom of heaven being near, and now he's teaching the people, what is this kingdom of heaven about? And it is not about having some sort of a triumphalist coming of some other rule, dominion, or reign. Something much more simple and much more difficult, too. Last week, Steve reminded us about salt. And this is precisely what I see Jesus doing in this part of the text today. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is presented as a person compared to Moses. Like Moses is giving these teachings in a mountain. But it's not so much in contrast, but in comparison. And here I see Jesus reminding the people of the law, but adding some salt, putting some flavor in the law. Much like when we reduce a sauce. When we put a sauce over fire, we let it evaporate all those elements that are not needed, that would distract from a rich, succulent taste. Jesus is putting flavor to this text. We can imagine Jesus saying, "You think I've come to discard the law and the prophets at something with no flavor? Yet I have not come to discard, but to reduce the sauce, to intensify its flavor." In this gospel, we hear these phrases over and over. "You've heard," and then the antithesis. "But I say to you," and each one of these statements, when Jesus said, "I say to you," he goes deeper to the marrow, to the heart of hearts that we find in the law. Each one of these issues mentioned by Jesus have to do with how this community of the kingdom of heaven that is near, is to orient their life toward one another. These statements that we heard about anger and lust and adultery and divorce and oath making, they really are about how we interact and how we live with one another. Jesus, in his teaching, is always letting us know that this life of being followers of this way, the being followers of the kingdom of heaven, is always about God and neighbor. God and neighbor. And it is there in our relationship with neighbors, in our relationship with one another, that the salt and light of the kingdom of God bring flavor and brightness. The way we live as this community of the kingdom of heaven, this new community that God's calling, it matters. It is not simply that we can put together really good statements of faith, that we can articulate what we believe really well. It's about how we live them out. I once heard a stand-up comedian say, "I have many beliefs, and I live by none of them." The way we live as a new community, and the salt and light of the kingdom of heaven matters. So in a way, when we speak of a kingdom, there is no kingdom until we enact it, until we perform it, until we live it out in our relationships. We don't just expect the kingdom to emerge or to appear. We live it out and we make it happen. This kingdom of heaven that Jesus is telling us about become near when we bite our tongue instead of lashing out, when we prayerfully orient ourselves and our hearts toward compassion. The kingdom of heaven is here when we value each other for who they are, for who we are, when we respect the dignity of every human being, not lusting for them, not making them an object to be used and then discarded when they are not useful or valuable to us. The kingdom of heaven is near when we push through the complexity of our relationships. When we go through bitterness and heartache, seeking to reconcile, orienting our hearts toward what is at the center, at the marrow of the Eucharistic experience, which is forgiveness, fellowship, union with Christ and one another. The kingdom of heaven becomes near when we posture ourselves toward mutuality and the well-being of others. And that's what Jesus is doing in this Sermon on the Mountain. Is orienting the multitude and orienting us toward that life of mutuality and well-being for others. And that is fine while we're in the mountain, but just like the people at Jesus' time, they had to go down. And many of you will have to go down Capitol Hill, and all of us will have to go out those doors. And that is when it becomes a bit more difficult. When we are in the rough and tumble of our communities and in our relationships. And yet it's there in lo cotidiano, in the everyday, in the commonplace, that there's this call and this invitation for us from Jesus, like then. To give ourselves to this sacred invitation, this holy summons, to give birth to the kingdom of God here and now. Even when we don't know how to do it, even when it's complicated and messy and complex, even when we have to continue praying that we will not just give up, that this is hard work, and we hope they don't give up. So in times like this, we hold to that prayer that we say often. We're about to enact this kingdom of heaven among our relationships, and we will, with God's help. Amen.